Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. In two of the three lectures that I've conducted here, I have mentioned distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all. Illusion comes in many forms. Maya is bahurupi, means many formed, like a chameleon. I don't know the Russian word. Maybe someone else knows it. It's an animal which changes color. And the reality is one. Ekam advitiyam. It is the one without a second. Of course, that one reality may manifest in various forms. Now, regarding dispelling illusion, just this afternoon, a devotee told me something about watching these movies, Mahabharata movie and Vishnu Purana movie. So is that Maya or is it reality? The subject is Krishna, so it should be reality, is it not? We are warned, there is a warning. Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vithin Vina Aikantaki Hare Bhakti Utpati Aiva Kalpate. Devotional service to Krishna which does not follow all the Shastras, the Shruti, the Smriti, the Puranas and so on, is simply a disturbance in society. So discussion of Krishna by persons who are not properly situated devotees of Krishna can never give a proper understanding of Krishna. Now the persons who made these movies, they're not pure devotees of Krishna. They're also not profane, but they are misinformed as to who is Krishna. And it's also important in their presentation that it be entertaining to the public. Otherwise, the TV company will not be pleased if they don't get their ratings and their advertisements. So it's not recommended to hear about Krishna from people who are not properly situated devotees of Krishna. Avaishnava mukhod girnam putam harikatam ritam shravana naiva kartavya sarpo chishta yathapayam. One should not hear about Krishna from non-devotees. The example is given of milk, which is called amrit, which means nectar. It also means that by which there is no death. So Hari Katha, discussion of Krishna, is amrit. It's very nectarian and it stops death. So the example is given just like milk if it's drunk by a snake, poisonous snake. If there's a glass of milk and a poisonous snake drinks some, he may leave half a glass of milk. Now, the remaining milk looks like milk. It may taste like milk, but the effect is not nourishing. It will poison us or maybe even kill us. So in the same way, Hari Katha, which is spoken by persons who have any other motive than to selflessly glorify Krishna, is like milk touched by the lips of a snake. Everyone is invited to turn off their cell phone. Yeah, please take out your mobile and turn it off.
You too.
Actually, we should have a fine. 1,000 ruble fine. No, seriously, it works. It's the best known method for getting people to turn off their phone. No, just take the money, that's all. So in the same way, hearing or watching these movies, they all have some misconceptions about Krishna, mostly Mayavad ideas. So we might say it's good for giving people some initial impression of Krishna. Yeah, again we have the same problem. You have to leave a space so that people can come in. Please leave a pathway for people to come inside. You see, I just showed my mystic power. I predicted the future. I said that there wouldn't be enough space. You all have to move forward. Now it's come true. So please, all the men move forward, and all the elderly ladies on the doorway, use your babushka shakti to make sure that a pathway is left. Yeah, so back to the TV series. So yeah, that might give people some initial idea, but it'll be a mixed up idea. It's just like in India, in some ways it's easier to preach, you could say. But in other ways, well, because people already have some idea of or inclination toward Krishna. But on the other hand, they have so many misconceptions. Just like, just to mention one of the millions of misconceptions. So in India, traditionally Bhagavad Katha, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, or Ram Katha has traditionally been very popular. So now there's a new kind of katha in Hinduism. It's called Sai Katha. Not this guy who used to have hair like that, not him. He's in a wheelchair now. I guess Yamaraj is just busy creating some special facilities for him. But there's some old Sai that was from, I don't know, 100 years ago or something, some so-called Sai Baba. It's become very popular. So now they have Sai Katha. No Shastra, nothing. Just total foolishness from beginning to end. Now, this kind of thing can happen in ISKCON. It can happen. Don't think it cannot happen. If we don't keep very strictly to the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then gradually all kinds of things will come in. We should stick very closely to what Srila Prabhupada has given us. We are not interested in making a new edition of Hindus. This is not the International Society for Hindu Consciousness. This is the Society for Krishna Consciousness. And that Krishna is the Krishna given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, given by Srila Prabhupada, given by Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, not by Ramanand Sagar, who is a film director who makes these kind of films. Ramananda Sagar is his name. Well-known figure. He's not a great demon or any such thing. I'm not blaming him. He's a pious man, no doubt. But we cannot say that his presentation and understanding of Krishna is anywhere near on the level of that of the pure devotee acharyas. Okay, now I'm going to take up another subject. Now I will discuss another subject. Aho batashva pachoto gariyan yajjiva agrivartite namatubhyam tapas tapas tejuhubu sasna arya brahmanucha namagrananti yate. Is Devahuti Devi Dasi present here? Yes. So this is a verse spoken by Devahuti, not Devahuti Devi Dasi, by Devahuti. And this is a verse which Srila Prabhupada often quoted. Who knows the meaning of this verse? Anyone? If you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam commentary, it comes up maybe a few times in Prabhupada's books. He quotes it in his lectures, he often quotes it. Okay, I'll give the meaning. Oho! Oh!
Oh!
Then bata means, how wonderful! Shvapacha. This means people who cook and eat dogs. Does anyone here cook and eat dogs? In this country, they'd put you in prison for doing that, right? The dog is considered the sacred animal. In traditional Indian culture, the dog eater is considered the lowest person. Why is the cow eater not considered the lowest person? Anyone like to suggest why? Yeah, the reason is because there are now cow eaters. Parikshit Maharaj will come and kill you if you try to eat a cow or kill a cow. Just shortly after I joined the temple, one of the first lectures I heard of Prabhupada, it said, Parikshit Maharaj, if anyone is drinking alcohol, kill him. If anyone is eating meat, kill him. If anyone is having illicit sex, kill him. If anyone is having gambling, kill him. I thought, interesting. Of course, that may not be applicable in Kali Yuga. Otherwise, there'd be almost everyone had to be killed. Actually, Prabhupada said he allowed, under some condition, that people can eat beef. Do you know what that condition is? No. Say, Smita Krishna. Yeah, let the cow die naturally, and then you can eat. If you want to do that, the meat eaters can do that. Not for devotees, please. So anyway, Devahuti says that how wonderful it is that even a dog eater who chants your name, how glorious is even a dog eater who chants your holy name. Such a person is understood to have already performed all the preliminary Vedic activities. They have performed all austerities prescribed in the Vedas, bathed in all the holy places, performed all the activities of perfect Brahmanas. In this regard, I would like to cite an anecdote regarding Shankaracharya and Kumarila Bhatta. This story is apocryphal. Do you have that word in Russian also? Apocryphal? It means, well, you're not really sure if it's true or not. Just like in the Bible, there's the Apocrypha. So any story, some ancient story, if you're not sure if it's true or not, they call it apocryphal. It's maybe like folklore or something like that. It may be true, maybe partially true, we don't know, but it's very instructive anyway. Well, we can accept that it's true, maybe some of the details are not exactly correct. So Shankaracharya, he was traveling around India and preaching. He only preached to people of Brahmana class. Please, Nagnajiti, don't lean on Prabhupada's Vyasa. So he came to Prayag. He wanted to meet Kumarila Bhatta, who he was a great exponent of the Mimamsa, Karma Mimamsa, the materialistic, one of the materialistic expositions of Vedic knowledge. The Mimamsakas take the parts of the Vedas which tell you to perform sacrifices and go to heaven and enjoy there as the they take this as the essence of the Vedas. So it's a very materialistic philosophy. But even to follow it and to understand it requires that one be highly cultured and educated. To be highly materialistic doesn't necessarily mean to be totally gross as we see in the modern age. So Shankaracharya found Kumar. He located Kumarila Bhatta at Prayag, at the confluence of the Ganga, Yamuna, and Saraswati. And Kumarila Bhatta, he was sitting in a, or he was standing in a big pile of rice husk, which was burning. He was burning himself to death. But rice bran burns very slowly, so it's a very slow, painful way to die. So Shankaracharya spoke to Kumarila Bhatta. Shankaracharya wanted to debate with Kumarila Bhatta and convert him to his own philosophy. But Kumarila Bhatta refused to debate because he said, well, now I'm going to die by this method. And he explained why he had taken up this method of dying. He had taken it up as a prayaschitta, or atonement. In the among the persons, the materialistic followers of the Vedas, those who follow Karma Kanda, this prayaschitta is very important. So Kumarila Bhatta, actually he only had one eye, one of his eyes had become blinded. So Kumarila Bhatta explained that he had taken up this prayaschitta because he had offended his guru. Kumarila Bhatta had joined a group of Buddhists and was studying under a Buddhist guru. Now the Buddhists are opposed to the Vedas.
Тогда как буддисты, они противники учения Вед.
Vedamania bodhoito nastik. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the Buddhists are considered atheists because they do not accept the Vedas. So Kumarila Bhatta, he had pretended to be a Buddhist because he wanted to study their philosophy so that he could know it very well to defeat it. Because the Mimamsakas, even though they're materialistic, they are very staunch defenders of the Vedas. So one day, Kumarila Bhatta, he was sitting at the feet of the Buddhist guru with the other students. And the Buddhist guru was very severely vilifying the Vedas. And Kumarila Bhatta couldn't hide his emotion and he wept in pain to hear this blasphemy of the Vedas. And the Buddhist guru immediately understood what was the actual position of Kumarila Bhatta. And he ordered his other disciples to drive out Kumarila Bhatta. So he was chased out, and the disciples wanted to throw him from a great height. And Kumarila Bhatta, he did not protest. He said, you can throw me, and if the Vedas are true, then surely I will not be harmed. So actually it happened. He wasn't killed, as would have been expected. But he did damage one eye. He became blind in one eye. So Kumarila Bhatta related all this to Shankara. And he said, actually, you see, even though he was a Buddhist, he was still my guru, so it was offensive of me to deceive him in that way, and therefore I'm performing this prayaschitta.
Yeah.
He said, actually, you see, my eye got damaged. Why is that? He explained why his eye got damaged. Kumarila said that instead of saying, if the Vedas are true, he should have said, the Vedas are true and surely they will protect me.
Если веда истинная,
Yeah, so say it.
You. Yeah.
No, no, he said, Kumarila said, I should have said that the Vedas are true and surely they will protect me. But because he said that, because I didn't say that, because I said it slightly differently, if the Vedas are true, he introduced a slight element of doubt, and therefore he got some damage. So you see, he had such faith in the Vedas. So he said, anyway, you can go and debate with my disciple, Mandana Mishra, who was living at Mahishmati, which is on the bank of the Narmada River. There's a long way for Shankara to go.
So
eventually he reached Mahishmati and he inquired from some local, low-caste women how to go to the house of... There's some women coming to the river for washing clothes. He asked them how to find the house of Mandana Mishra. And the women, even the low-caste women who weren't expected to be very educated, they replied to Shankara in Sanskrit. And he said, well, you have to go to the house outside which the parrots are in the cage. And the two parrots are arguing over... Svata Pramana, which means self-evident evidence. Or what's the other term? Parata Pramana. I think it's Parata Pramana, which means evidence which is established by others. So you can imagine the level of discussion that Mandana Mishra had when even the parrots outside his house were discussing such topics. So Mandana Mishra didn't want to meet Shankara. He didn't want to see him. He thought to see a sannyasi is most inauspicious because they're materialistic and they think the object of life is to enjoy life through the Vedic process. And a sannyasi has given up all material enjoyment. So a sannyasi they consider is most inauspicious. And they also consider that the sannyasis, they're misunderstood and they're misrepresenting the Vedas by promoting renunciation. So anyway, eventually there was a discussion and Shankaracharya defeated Mandana Mishra. But then Mandana Mishra's wife said, okay, you defeated him, but you didn't defeat me. You have to discuss with me also. So Shankara said, well, you know, what am I going to discuss with you? We already discussed all the topics of the Vedas with your husband. So she said, well, let's discuss about sex. And Shankara said, well, I don't know anything about that. I became a sannyasi at the age of 8. So what do I know about that? So she said, well, if you don't defeat me, you can't take my husband. So Shankara said, okay, well, give me a little time, you know. I have to do some homework, first of all. So by his mystic power, Shankaracharya, he left his body in a cave in the jungle. And in his subtle body, he traveled and he found a king who had just suddenly died and he entered the body of that king. So all the citizens were surprised and happy that, oh, we thought our king was dead, but he came back to life. But the ministers, they soon found out that, well, he seems to be a different person. Seems to be much more intelligent than the king we knew previously. And the queens also found out that, you know, not exactly the same person we knew before. But Shankaracharya, in a short time, being very intelligent, he understood all the points about rati, which means sexual enjoyment. Now the Buddhists, who were the enemies of Shankara, they hated him. They're also very intelligent in a perverted way. And they came to know that Shankara had apparently vanished. And they managed to deduce that that king is actually Shankara. And that Shankara has left his actual body somewhere else. So they made a plot and they came to kill the body of Shankara, which is in a like a coma-like condition. So the disciples of Shankara, they came in, they said, we want to see the king, and the ministers said, what are you, who are you, what do you want to see the king? And eventually they got to him and said, look, you better get back to your body, quick. So these sannyasis went to see the king, and after speaking with him for just a very short time, the king dropped dead. So the citizens weren't very happy. Anyway, Shankara went back in his mystic body towards the body he'd left in the cave. And just at that time, Shankara saw that the demons were coming to try and kill that body. And a lion came out of the jungle and attacked and killed all those attackers. And Shankara entered his body. Disciples are very happy. He's come back to life. And at that point, Shankara composed a prayer to Nrisimhadev. Yeah, spontaneously composed. You added the word. Very good. Because he recognized, Shankara recognized that this lion was no ordinary lion. And then Shankara went back to Mahishmati and said, okay, he said to the wife, Bharati, yes, now I'm ready to debate with you. And she said, no, it's all right, I accept. No need. You can take my husband. So that Mandana Mishra, who hated even to see a sannyasi, he also became a sannyasi. What was his name? I think he became Sureshwar Acharya. Can you remember? You don't know. You're on Madhva side. They also hate Shankara. We don't. Gauriyas, we don't hate Shankara. But Madhvas do. And Madhvas go to pass too. Anyway, I shouldn't say, because we accept Shankara as a great worshipable personality. So anyway, why am I telling all this? I'd recited the verse about the even a dog eater who recites your name is so glorious.
Yeah.
I'm just giving some examples of what great personalities there are within our Vedic culture. Now, even though we don't accept Shankara's philosophy, his personality is outstanding. Even Kumarila Bhatta, who was so materialistic in one way, but on the other side he had such tremendous veneration for the Veda. And Mandana Mishra, even the parrots outside his house were debating over Svata Pramana and Parata Pramana. But according to Devahuti, which we accept as a fact, it's recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, even someone not on that highly cultured level, even a dog eater, becomes more glorious than Kumarila Bhatta, more glorious than Mandana Mishra by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Of course, Shankaracharya was also chanting the name of Krishna. But the philosophy he presented to the world was anti-devotional, actually. But just see how glorious, you see, first of all, see how glorious are the Vedas. How glorious are the followers of the Vedic culture, even those who follow it with a misunderstanding. And how even more glorious, Devahuti says, are those who chant your holy names constantly, even those who are not, they don't have a high culture. So all of us, we are not coming from the culture of Mandana Mishra. We're not coming from the culture in which the dog eater is considered the lowest. We come from the culture in which the cow eater is considered the highest. He said, eat plenty of beef and become very strong. At least in England, they have one part of the guards in the army, they're called beef eaters, and they're supposed to be very strong. We come from such a low culture. It's not even culture, it's just subculture, hellish culture. But by Prabhupada's grace, we are now have the opportunity to chant the holy names. Don't take Prabhupada to be just some kind of expert propagandist. It's only someone who is the very greatest devotee can spread Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada did among the most fallen people. We're all so fallen, we don't even have any idea how fallen we are. Prabhupada gave us this Vedic culture. He gave us the very essence of the Vedic culture, which is chanting the holy names of Krishna. Anyone who chants the holy name of Krishna is in a more glorious position than even the great brahmanas of India who are not in the pure devotional line. But try to take up this Vedic culture. You know, better don't bring our cow-eating culture into Krishna consciousness. Because our brains are all messed up with meat-eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, we don't know actually what is best for us. Yeah. Keep the movement very pure. The only entrance that we have into this culture is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we shouldn't bring our own ideas and think that we can just mix up this pure Vedic culture with all this cow-killing culture ideas. And practically everything, all the ideas in the modern culture, they're all wrong. Even Kumarila Bhatta, such a great personality, his basic understanding was completely wrong. And even Shankaracharya, who is far greater than Kumarila Bhatta, even the idea he propagated is basically a disaster for human society. And what Srila Prabhupada is propagating is millions and millions of times more auspicious than anything that Shankaracharya has given. So just try to understand what Srila Prabhupada has given us without diluting it or trying to change it. What Srila Prabhupada is giving is the essence of all Vedic knowledge as given by all the acharyas. Trying to take it. Otherwise, if we don't get the right idea, then we get mixed up with all the wrong ideas. For instance, instead of looking toward the Vedic culture for great character figures, we may start to think that, you know, that people in the modern world who are praised as very great, they actually are great. We have so many ideal role models in the Vedic and Puranic literature. Role models, yeah. Particularly the Ramayana is a didactic work based on the ideal character of Rama, Sita, Lakshman, and Vishvamitra and others. Vishvamitra and others. In Mahabharata also, we find how a good eventually always triumphs over evil. So many great persons are described there. The Pandavas, they're all very great persons. Draupadi. Of course, the greatest person is described in Mahabharata, namely Krishna. And Krishna is especially revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, because Krishna is more than any human being, it's not that everything that Krishna does is for us to follow as a role model. But sometimes we hear devotees praising people who they're really nowhere near on the level of Bhima, Arjuna, Bhima, or Bhishma and Drona, Bhishma, Drona, Pramukhata. Sometimes, I don't know if it's like that in Russia, but previously, some devotees in the West used to so much praise Mother Teresa or Dalai Lama. This Dalai Lama is a total hypocrite. He goes everywhere talking about peace, and he's a big meat eater. He eats beef and everything. He's a total hypocrite. But why should devotees praise him when we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Prabhupada, these are the people we should see their qualities and follow them. Mother Teresa, yeah, she was probably better than Hitler and Stalin. Well-intentioned. Of course, even probably Hitler was well-intentioned in his own estimation. But she was another meat-eater. She lived in the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had no interest in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She lived in the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She had no interest in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She wanted to convert people from following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to follow her own meat-eating version of following Jesus. So try to understand everything through Shastra. Don't be sentimentally attached or attracted by people who are not actually very well situated. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunai tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahan guna manorathena asati dhavato bahi. In persons who are fully devoted to Krishna, all the great qualities of the saintly persons are automatically present. But for those who are not devotees of Krishna, they may have some qualities. But they don't, their qualities are not really proper qualities at all. They're on the mental platform, not on the spiritual platform of service to Krishna. Please don't use Prabhupada's Vyasa Sen as a general place for keeping things. So, even a devotee from a very fallen background is glorious. But non-devotees, however great they may seem to be, they don't have any proper position. They're also just floating in the waves of Maya. Oh, here's something interesting. Some years ago, have you heard of David Beckham? Ever heard of him?
Yeah.
No, you haven't heard of him. He was a famous footballer in England, soccer player. What's that?
Yeah, he's still
famous. He's still famous? Yeah. So, I mean, in England, he's like, you know, David. I mean, just ridiculous how people think he's great. So in England, a few years ago, there was a survey. And I can't remember exactly the question. It was something like, would you rather meet God or David Beckham? Something like that. And about 40% of the people said that they preferred David Beckham to God. It's an interesting feature. It's an interesting anecdote from the ocean of insanity. So, according to Bhagavatam, we shouldn't. According to Bhagavatam, according to all these shastras, we shouldn't associate with non or highly rate non-devotees. Now, sometimes devotees make the proposition that, well, it seems to me, they say that the non-devotees, they're better than the devotees. You ever heard that one? Sometimes it seems that the non-devotees, some of them, they're very pleasant people, and the devotees, they're, you know, they're all... Don't do that! Don't do that! Well, I didn't say, you said it. You said fanatic. All right, okay, you can use that word if you like. But the devotee telling you, don't do this, don't do that. He is our friend. This non-devotee is being nice. What is that? Well, I guess even Hiranyakashipu would have been nice to Prahlad if Prahlad had just cooperated with Hiranyakashipu. Just like someone may be very pleasant. Oh, you're cooking beef soup today. How nice. So what is better, the niceness of a non-devotee who helps us to forget Krishna, or the apparent unpleasantness of a devotee who helps us to remember Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's better to be embraced by a tiger or to be in a cage surrounded by flames than to associate with non-devotees. Yeah. So be careful. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is the proper behavior of a devotee? What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reply? A asad sangha tyaga a vaishnavata. The behavior of devotee begins with giving up bad association. Stri sangi eka sadhu krishna bhakta. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned two types of non-devotees. One is one who is associates with women. Of course, if one is properly married with a wife and living in Krishna consciousness, that's not going to drag us to hell. But for a man to associate with a woman for sense gratification, or for a woman to associate with a man for sense gratification, blocks Krishna consciousness. And those who are, even they may be well behaved, like and cultured, like Kumarila Bhatta, but if they're not devotees of Krishna, even that association will not, it is to be avoided. So welcome to all the devotees who have just arrived. We have a special program for all the Grihastha devotees at this festival. If you don't have a full set of Prabhupada's books in your home, you can take a full set home with you. We can help you. We have plenty of books here. Every Grihastha should, if we claim to be followers of Srila Prabhupada, at the very least we should have a full set of Prabhupada's books in our home. So, and those of you who do have a full set of Prabhupada's books in your home, you can take more and distribute them to others. You can sell them, or if you're afraid to sell books for some reason or other, you can give them away, nice Christmas presents, wedding presents. So I request you to take a full set of Prabhupada's books, or I order you to take a full set of Prabhupada's books, or I fall at your feet and beg you to take a full set of Prabhupada's books. Whatever, whichever one you want, you have a choice of three: request, order, or begging. But take a set of books, please. Don't waste your life simply sitting in a home like the pigeons sit in some hole.